All right. Thank you, Luke and Leah. Appreciate young folks singing for us. That's a brother and sister team, in case you didn't know it. I understand this week, of course, is got the Thanksgiving time in it. Probably here on Wednesday night, we'll do something a little more special for the season. This morning, I want you to go to John chapter 8 for our message today. I want to talk to you about discerning the truth today. You know, there's a battle over truth today. We live in a great day of deception. Somebody has coined the word fake news, and I agree with that completely. A lot of deception. That's one of the end time signs of the Lord Jesus Christ coming back, is a sign of deception. But John chapter 8, we're going to pick it up kind of in the context here of the crucifixion. And we'll kind of get the setting here. Jesus has said in verse 28, "Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am He." Now, there's a little play on words here. Lifted up, speaking of the cross. You understand the cross was a Roman instrument of punishment that the Jews didn't have. Their punishment was stoning. But the cross was of the Romans. And that come in. But it was already predicted 1,000 years before Jesus was born that he would die on a cross. You can read it in Psalms 22. But here he's saying, when I'm lifted up, then you'll know that I am He. Now, the word I am, that's the word we were first introduced to when Moses came to the burning bush that wouldn't burn up and wanted to know the name of God. And God said, I am that I am. And Jesus is telling us here, I am He. I am that I am. I am that God. And He was God incarnate in the flesh. Have no truck, no time, no patience with the cults and isms that don't want to recognize that Jesus was God. It says, and that I do nothing of myself. He's talking now. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone. For I do always those things that please Him. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could say that? Verse 30. And He spake these words. As He spake these words, many believed on Him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, If ye continue in my word, then are you my disciple indeed. That's a good way to test yourself. You following His word, or you're a disciple? Then verse 32, and this is kind of what I want to use for a text this morning. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. There's a battle over truth today, no doubt about it. You know, we remember as kids. Do you remember when you first got a test in school and you could mark true or false? I love those questions. I knew I had a 50% chance. Did you? Right? Amen? I remember when at fourth grade, we got a notebook, and I could not believe it. True, false, true, false. My cousin just went down the line. Anybody over here, you know. By the way, he done about as good as the rest of us. But you know, we understand that. Today, I date myself now, but a long time ago, used to be a program on TV called Truth or Consequences. Do you know there's a lot of consequences whether you get it right or not? A lot of consequences whether you get it false or not. But in the context of truth being in a warfare, that started in the Garden of Eden. When Satan showed up, what did he do? He put a question mark on God's word. And he said, yea, hath God said. And he deceived Mother Eve. You remember the story. We've been reaping for it ever since. But here's what I want to kind of talk to you about this morning. Whether we have truth or error is very important, folks. It's very, very important. It affects everything, whether you get it right or not. Amen? Let me say it affects us personally and privately. You know, we hopefully are living by the things we think and believe are true. We're governed by those. We should be doing the things we think that are true. Most of you are taking some pills because you truly hope they'll help you. Right? And you got vitamins. You hope those pills have the vitamins in them they claim they do. You don't know. So you're marking it true and you're hoping it's not false. Amen? And so you take the vitamin pills. How about everybody going around with a little plastic bottle of water? You truly hope it's clean. You don't know. You don't know. They might have dipped it out of the lake behind the house. You don't know. It probably come out of a water hose in the back alley in New York. You don't know. But you're paying more for it than you are gasoline. Figure it up. Figure it up. But you hope it's truly good for you. I never forget, I was driving back from Georgia. I'd been up there preaching somewhere. And when I drive by myself, I make good time because I don't stop quite as often. And when I do stop for gas, I try to, make that one stop count for everything I can. And that particular night, it was getting dark, I stopped and I was thirsty and I thought, you know, the temptation is to get a Coke. But I didn't need a Coke. So I got a bottle of water. And I was proud of myself. I got gas and I got water and that's all I got. And I got back on the road and I'm listening to the radio and I'm breezing down the road and I'm listening to the radio and some newsman comes on and he said, they just discovered that the water bottles coming out of somewhere are tainted. I'm looking, what have I just done? I don't know. I don't know if it's true or false. I don't know if it's good, clean water or not. I know I bought it for that. I don't know, you know. And you know, everything, it affects us whether it's true or false. When it comes to the career you've picked, to make a living, you hope you've made a good choice. You hope you've based it on truth. And it's going to be a good job and it's going to turn out all right. And you hope that is true. And you picked it. Somebody asked the little boy, I said, what do you want to be? What kind of career do you want? What are you going to be when you grow up? He said, I want to be a soldier. And they started nodding their head. He said, a soldier on furlough. Most of us want that. We want to freeload if we can. But we hope we've made a choice that's based on truth. How about marriage? Did you find your true love? You metal there. There used to be magazines they put out called True Love. You know what they were saying by that? There must be some false love somewhere. I mean, they're opposites, you know. But we hope it's true. We need truth. We want to raise our kids by truth, don't we? We don't want to raise them by that is false. But you know what? It's important that we know how to measure and find out if it's true. What do we measure truth by? I'll tell you what we measure it by. God's Word. This is the only thing I know that's totally true that I can guarantee you that's true. That's God's Word. And so I want to measure everything I can by what God says. My life, if I measure it by His book, He's my maker. He made me. He knows what it is best for me to keep me going. And you know what? Within these pages, He's told me what it is. He's also warned me within these pages about what is false. So you and I, as we go through our life, we're making choices all the time. I hope I make more good choices than bad. And I want to go by God's book. And I believe that's the safest roadmap that I can follow to guide my life by. It affects everything that we do. Everything that we do. It's the yardstick that we can measure by what God said is best. We know that it is, and that's very important. Now, here's the thing. Every area you look at today is in a fight over what is true and what is false. Politically, boy, we're seeing that. We're seeing that. You know, somebody says, I don't care about politics, then you don't care about what rules your life because they have a whole lot to do with your life. Somebody says, we don't never talk about religion and we don't never talk about politics, and you're not talking about much else. This is important. Because the truth is, religion, true salvation, one of the most important thing you can talk about. That's for the life to come. But there's a life here now. We'd all love to be in the sweet by and by, but we got to live for a while in the nasty now. That's here. And we need the truth to govern us in the nasty now and now, just like we do the truth that will take us and take care of us in the sweet by and by. Amen. And I'm saying to you, political fight over truth today, truth and error, everywhere you look, is it true or false? And it affects our lives greatly. We look in our history of our country, and thank God it was founded on truth. It was founded on the Word of God. It was founded on Christians that believed the book, believed in God, believed right and wrong. Thank God we've had a wonderful history, taken through the wars and everything else, as God has blessed our nation. And the Bible says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. There's a lot of nations got so-called gods. But we're talking about the Lord God Jehovah. America was founded on this book, on the God of this book. And we've been blessed because of that. You know, we were founded recognizing the desire that God placed in the man's heart to be free. All nations are not free. You do know that. And I am so concerned that we seem to be selling out our freedom today everywhere we turn, every direction. And it was bought and paid for by the precious blood of a lot of our God-fearing men of the past. And you know, they were measuring truth by the Word of God. I guess it was our first president, George Washington, that said that it was impossible to enslave a Bible-reading people. You know what he was saying? He was saying a man that reads this book is going to know what's right from wrong. And in fact, you know why a lot of nations today fight the Christians? I was reading in Nigeria this week how they were slaughtering Christians and other places. You know what they fear? They fear the Bible, because the Bible will tell men how to live and honor God and have freedom. Communist countries fear the Bible. We've smuggled Bibles right here from our church through the missionaries into countries where if you got caught, you could go to jail over it. Why do they fear the Bible? Because it'll set men free. It'll set men free. And we look in the political fight today and see some real bad things going on today. But dictators fear the Bible because it is what leads men to want to be free and know how to be free and how to put God first. Today, folks, we are in present danger. You know this. In America, there's a real coup trying to take place over our government. You know what a coup is? A coup is by force overthrowing our government or doing away with the will of the voters, especially when it comes to the last election and President Trump. You know what that would involve? It would involve changing our God. And that's what listen, all gods are not equal. Some of them are false. Some of them, all of them outside of the Lord God Jehovah and the Lord Jesus Christ, they're false gods. They're false gods. And you change the God, you're going to change the morals. I can't believe in the primaries fixing to start up and some of the debates they've already had, that they could actually have a man run and try to be qualified to be elected president who's married to another man. Now, that couldn't have happened a few years ago in our country. No way. Whatever his name is, Mayor Pete, they call him, Pete Butterlick or something. I said that on purpose, because I can't say his last name. You probably can't either. But married to another man. Now, I don't know which one of them is the husband and which one of them is the wife. I'm not sure. But anyway, whatever it is, it's a very queer arrangement. Really. But that's what happens when you detach from the Lord God Jehovah and from His Word. That's what happens when you follow that is false instead of what is true. Amen. I saw in the UK, the United Kingdom this week, where a college professor lost his job. And he had a lot of tenure and all that, but he lost his job because he had a 6-foot man with a beard in his so-called class that he refused to call a she or a her, and the guy wanted to be called that because in his perverted mind, he was declaring himself a woman. and the hierarchy over the professor fired him because he wouldn't bow to that kind of foolishness and call a man a she. Thank God that he had a backbone to stand up. Amen. It's really ridiculous. But you know, the impeachment fight all over the news, I can't watch it. I get mad about it. It's not the TV's fault, but don't you feel like throwing something at him? Look at the crowd. You know why they're mad at the president? He stood for some things that was right. Like not killing the babies, abortion. Like against the homosexual agenda. Amen. Like a bunch of stuff that he's done that just common sense stuff. But boy, is he hated for it. You say, oh, he thinks he's above the law. No, the law they're quoting is not the right law. He ought to care about where our foreign aid goes and how it's spent, whether it goes into the pockets of crooks in a corrupt nation or not. He ought to have done it. He ought to have inquired about that. Yes, he should have. So I don't have any time for that crowd. I look at the crowd and see what they stand for. And it's ridiculous. By the way, I said this when the man got elected. In the primaries, I voted for somebody else. But then he's been my president ever since. And I've been proud he's tried to keep some promises. And I'm proud of that. But I see the hate that's against him as being a hate against God and God's principles and God's truths. That's the big problem. It's a satanic hate. That's exactly what it is. But true or false? What's right and what's wrong? By the way, if God caused him to win the election, it may be God that keeps him in, and then God could be through with him. So I'm trusting the Lord. I'm not trusting the politicians. Amen? I was preaching in a preacher's meeting Tuesday up in Jacksonville. When I got through preaching, of course, when I preach in my own kind, easy, sweet way, I let my views be known. You understand that, don't you? So after the meeting was over, preachers come to me. He said, some of them come disagree with you. Oh, no, they're afraid to do that. They don't know how sanctified I am, for sure. But anyway, no, one came to me, a good friend come to me, said, preacher, so I know it's a play on words, but he said, you know what? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that we're going to be resurrected out of here at the last trump. I said, that's good. I'm ready to go. Amen. Honestly, that is the name, Donald Trump. If you look up the word Trump and check it out in the Hebrew, especially, you will find out it don't only say his name is Trump. It says his name is he who blows the trump. And he has certainly blown it and caused a whole lot of trouble. Amen. All right. I'm enjoying myself whether you are or not. But you know what? I'm talking about truth, picking right or wrong, true or false, and measuring it by the Word of God. That's the only way you're going to know. I want to say to you, it affects you personally, affects you privately, affects your career, affects the way you raise your kids, and it'll affect your life as human government goes. But I want to say the biggest thing is it affects you permanently, not only here, but in the hereafter. In the hereafter. You know, sometimes in this life we learn some things that we trusted and thought was right, turn out to be false later, and that hurts. No doubt about it, that hurts. Some of those things sometime in this life you can correct. You can find out I was wrong about this, and you may have time to correct it, and you may have the means to correct it. All of that is true in the nasty now. Here, sometimes we can learn we were wrong, and it's a good thing when a man can admit he's wrong. He'll never change it and get it right until you admit it's wrong. Understand all that. But I want to say to you, the real truth that's most important affects you permanently in the hereafter, and you can't change it on the other side when you find out you're wrong. You better find it out now. Better know it now. Better know your yardstick is correct now. Better know what you're measured by is right now. It'll be too late on the other side. You know, consequences can be bad. You find out. I remember as a kid, we were raised poor, raised here in this town, no bus routes and various things, no welfare program as it is today, and certainly no food stamps and all that stuff. So we struggled along, but my dad was an honest man. He worked hard, and by the grace of God, we made it. But I remember one time, and you know, fruit was the main thing around here. Harvesting the fruit was it. And Daddy was into that. Had an old truck, he and some other men hauling out to the groves and stuff. And I overheard something one night as a 10-year-old that broke my heart even then. I heard Daddy talking with Mother in the kitchen, and he said, "We just found out today that the boss man has been cheating us, been crooked." And I heard him talking to Mother about it. I still remember it a little bit. I remember how hard time we were having. And I heard my dad say that the men that worked, the men that was doing the job, that every week when they got their paychecks, that the boss man was embezzling so much off of each check and taking it for himself. Of course, my mother was a little spitfire mother like some of yours was. And she said, "What are you going to do about it?" Daddy was always the reasonable, lived a Christian life very much, though he was not a professing Christian. And he said, "He'll have to answer to somebody higher than me." I remember that as a 10-year-old. He didn't try to go beat him up or anything else. But what a sad thing to learn. False, something he trusted, a man he trusted. I heard him say to my mother, he got drunk and started confessing. I don't know what the other men did. My dad didn't do anything. We just went on. We lived. I want to say to you, sometimes you find out something that hurts, something that's false, something you've been trusting in, something that was, you know, should have been right, and it was wrong. All of that can happen in this life. It can be bad here. But oh, no comparison. No comparison to the consequences if you're wrong in the hereafter. Oh, that's the big one, folks. That's the big one. True religion, false religion. Religion as a whole takes you away from God. It gets so many rules and stuff going on and gets away from the real truth. Christianity is a religion, but religion is not necessarily Christianity. There is a difference. For you to know the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that died on the cross and shed his blood for our sin, that's the truth you can get a hold of. That's the truth you can trust for now and for the hereafter. That's a truth that will help you live better now. Even when hard things and mistreatment comes, it'll help you get through them now. But the best part is it will not only help you to enjoy the trip to heaven, it'll take you to heaven on the other side in the hereafter. The truth, Jesus said over in John chapter 8, he said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." He said in standing before Pilate. You remember Pilate standing there, the crucifixion? Pilate wanted to let Jesus go. He said, "I find no fault in this man." But he did the political correct thing. And he went with the pressure, and he let him crucify the Lord Jesus Christ. But one of the statements is so very, very interesting there to me in John 18. Jesus told him, "I've come from the Father to give some truth." You know what Pilate said? He said, "What is truth?" That's some statement in the Bible. John 18, what is truth? He said that to Jesus. Hey, the truth was standing there looking him in the eye. Jesus was the truth. Jesus said in John 14, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me." I'm not one of many truths. I am the truth. And Pilate was addressing the truth, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, "What is truth?" It's amazing. Some think Pilate went to hell. It's possible he might have got saved. And I don't know. But he didn't right then, because he rejected the truth that was standing right in front of him. Let's don't be too hard on him, because how many folks have come, heard the gospel, how Jesus loved them and died for them and rejected the truth and walked out to try their own way instead of his way. The Bible says there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It says that twice in Proverbs. Are you following the way that seems right or the way that is right? The way that's true or the way that's false? The world's got a lot of false ways. Jesus is the true way. He's the one who loved you and died for you. Jesus spoke of it this way over in Matthew chapter 7. He said, "Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in. Narrow is the way that leadeth to eternal life, and few be that find it." The narrow way is the grace way. You know what? Some of you still unsaved. You've heard me. You've heard other preachers tell you over and over, there's only one way. Jesus is the way. He paid for your sins. Nobody else could pay for your sins. You need to trust him, believe on him, receive him as your Savior. The Bible says, "Unto as many as received him, unto them gave he power to become the sons of God." You've heard that. But you walked out to try your own way again. How many times are you going to keep doing that? How many ways have you used up? How close to the end of the way are you? Is there a way that still seems right to you? I want to recommend to you today the way that is right. The way of the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid the price for you. He paid it all. You know, I used to get that little old workbook in school. First time, I guess it was the modern way of teaching. Hard to believe now compared to the electronics, but I looked and it said, fill in the blank, true or false? I want to say to you today, you filled in a blank. Some of you may fill it in this morning as you leave the building. Which box are you checking? True or false? Your way, his way. World's way, God's way. True or false? Let the world fight over it all they want to. The difference is where you spend eternity, heaven or hell. Knowing the Lord Jesus or rejecting the Lord Jesus. I like the special they sang a little bit earlier here when Sharon and Hector were singing about the creation, that God wrote the music for the whippoorwills. Wow. But he still won't make you come against your will. You can receive the Lord Jesus, or you can say no to him. You can check true or false this morning. I hope you'll check true and say, "I'm coming to the Lord Jesus Christ." Friend, don't leave the building. Don't leave the building in rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you bow your heads with me, please? With our heads bowed, how many of you can say by the uplifted hand, "Preacher, I know when I receive Christ. I know if I died today because of him and him only, I'd go to heaven." Can you lift that hand? Can you do it? Really? Really? Can you do it? How important it is. Thank you. You may put them down. Are you here today and you say, "Preacher, I think I've been on the false way. I want to come to Jesus. What do I do?" Just come to him. I'm so glad he said, "Whosoever cometh unto me, I'll in no wise cast out." That whosoever means you. You can come. Probably one of the hardest things to believe is how you can be saved by his grace instead of earning it by your own works. I always thought growing up I had to do enough good to be saved, and I knew I was coming so short I'd never make it. I came and heard a preacher preach just like I preach today, telling the good news that Jesus took my place. I couldn't live perfect, but he did. I couldn't pay for my sins, but he did. And I could be saved by grace. The scripture says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God." Salvation's a gift. He paid for the gift. He gives it to you as a gift. You couldn't pay for it. I couldn't pay for it. This morning you can come and receive the gift of eternal life if you'll receive Christ today. Would you stand with me, please? Father, we go to you in prayer. We ask this morning that you'd bless us in this building, that not one would leave lost. Father, you know every heart. I had some hands shown, lifted up, Father, but you look further than that. You looked in the heart. And you know of those here without Christ today. Father, some of them will get by with a little error, little falsehood in the here, but the hereafter's coming. And only the truth is going to take care of the hereafter. I pray for that one that needs Christ today to not leave without him, but to come forward at this moment and receive him as their Lord and Savior. For I ask it in his precious name. Amen. We're going to sing. I'm going to step to the front. Will you meet me here and say, "Preacher, I'm coming to Christ today. I'm turning from false to true." Will you do it? Will you come? Come on as we sing.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood.
Will you come this morning? Will you come? How about you?
Come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. I
as we sing, will you come?
Just as I am and waiting not to raise.
How about you this morning? How about you? Sing another verse, will you come?
Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come.
Let's bow our heads a moment. Invitation's still open. You can still come. Somebody says, "Why do you give an open invitation?" Because that's the Bible. Bible says, "Whosoever believeth shall not be ashamed." That's Bible. It's God's word. Jesus said, "Whosoever shall confess me before men." That's what you do when you walk a church aisle. You're not ashamed of Jesus. You're making a confession openly. People can see, okay. By the way, all the folks sitting around you did that one day. And they're praying for you to do it. Jesus said, "Whosoever cometh unto me, I'll in no wise cast out." He said, "Whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father, which is in heaven." But then he went to the negative side of that, and he said this, "But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven." Do you understand the day will come that you're going to be spending eternity depending on whether the Lord Jesus Christ confesses you before the Father or not? You can confess him before men. He'll confess you before his Father. Deny him, he has to deny you. It's not games, boys and girls. It's real. It's real. Which one have you done? Have you heard the gospel and rejected Christ because you thought, "I can't do that in front of a bunch of people"? I heard a fellow say on TV the other day, he said, "I heard that preacher say, you got to come down front here, and I'll never do that," he said, but he said, "God got a hold of me, and I did." And it was a whole new world he discovered when he stepped on God's side. Have you ever done that? All right, we're going to let you be seated and we'll share with you here. All right, Jason, stand up here with me. Brother Parsons has talked at length with Jason. I've talked with him some. Jason's made a profession of faith and been serving the Lord, even working a bus route. But he came confessing that he just really, truly got saved. Matthew chapter 7 warns about false professions, don't it? There'll be some one day stand before Jesus, according to Matthew 7. And they'll say, Lord, Lord, we cast out devils in your name. We did many wonderful works in your name. And Jesus says in Matthew 7, I'll have to say to them, depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Wow. Wouldn't it be terrible for somebody in our church to be fooling themselves? So, Jason, you got it settled?
Yes, sir.
Amen. So, you come in for baptism tonight? Right now. Okay, right now. All right, we have a motion to receive Jason for baptism right now. All right, Jason, go right around the corner there, and we'll sing a song, and we'll wait till we get you in the baptismal tank. Amen. Jason's appreciate your prayers. He wants to do right and live for the Lord, so you pray for him. Amen.
All right, turn in your hymn books to 217, please. 217, my hope is in the Lord. My trust is in that Lord who is the truth. Amen. As we just heard. 217 on the first verse.
My hope is in the Lord who gave himself for me and paid the price of all my sin at Calvary for me. He died for me. He lives and everlasting life and light he freely gives. No merit of my own his anger suppress. My only hope is found in Jesus' righteousness. For me he died, for me he lives, and everlasting life and light he freely. And now for me he stands before the Father's throne. He shows his wounds, hands, and names me as his own. For me he died, for me he lives, and everlasting life and light he freely gives. His grace has planned it all, 'tis mine but to believe and recognize his work of love in Christ received. For me he died, for me he lives, and everlasting life and light he freely gives.
Jason, because you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Okay, let's go to the Lord and be dismissed here in prayer. Greg, you want to come up here and dismiss us? What did I do? Call his name wrong? I guess I did. He'll do it anyway.
Thank you, Father, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Please, Lord, give us safety as we travel back. Thank you, Lord, that we had a good invitational and that we get back here safely, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.